Hey, everybody. We've got Rob Onspach with Onspach Media. We dive into what a day looks like if you don't want to get out of bed. He goes into the two words he lives by, freedom and legacy. And Rob explains how he has no interest in crypto, but how the technology behind it excites him. Check it out. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I'm Brandon Strauss, and I believe that life gives to the giver. And today we have got a dear friend of mine, Rob Onspach of Onspach Media, to help you lead with the give, Mr. Unscripted himself. Rob, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Hey, as opposed to waiting to the end of the show for our members, where's the best place for them to connect with you outside of the give that we shall tease at the end of the podcast?
Well, you can reach me on LinkedIn. You can reach me on Facebook. You can reach me even on my website, onspachmedia.com.
Unless Facebook go, I just found out yesterday, like Facebook went down. I'm like, I had zero clue that it went down, but you know.
Yeah, I'm checking and I'm like, damn it, my password doesn't work. And then I went to Down Detector because nobody else goes there. And
there you go.
That 500,000 people couldn't get on. So I'm like, okay, that's fine.
Yep.
Do something else.
Time to take a bathroom break.
And I actually went outside and saw the sun for like the first time in a month.
Yeah, well, that's not too bad. Get yourself grounded. But as people aren't here to hear about the Foosbook and Zuck and everything, let's hop into this. You know, our ability, or I should say our availability of information, has really changed over the last 2 to 3 years. In our younger years, we had textbooks, teachers, friends, and family. Beyond the Googles, YouTubes, and other search engines, how has your learning changed from your early years versus today?
Oh, you know, when I first became an entrepreneur, that's all I was studying, gurus after gurus after gurus. And it's nice. I mean, you learn stuff, but ultimately you end up being, you know, or doing what they do. And it's not always right for your personality. I mean, I'm highly sarcastic, and so are you. And so a lot of times people don't get us. And so over the years, I started writing my own books. And I mean, the last one, as you wrote, you know,
yeah,
it's Unscripted, Unfiltered, Unwoo, and Unguru. And it's just me and Steve Gamlin were just two no BS guys talking about entrepreneurship. And this book is a little different because, you know, it was Steve Gamlin has been on my podcast 7 times over 5 years. And, you know, after the 7th interview, I thought, wow, you know what? All that material would be great to be in a book, because you see the 5-year evolution of two guys going through, you know, their entrepreneurship, going through COVID, going through all this other stuff. And you know, it's just a giant conversation book.
You know,
it's like just two guys sitting on a porch chatting, and you're the fly on the wall overhearing all this stuff. And that's how the book was written. And it was just a very easy way to communicate to others how to do things in a non-guru way.
Yeah. You know, and there's something, because I was at a place with some people over the last few days we were talking about here. And there was a couple of times where we actually said, hey, this might be a little woo-woo. And it's from people you wouldn't have expected. So you've met one of my dear friends and partners. And the guy's already skipped his interview once. So I just said, screw it. I'm not going to have him back on, Nick Peterson. And he's like, hey, I get that this might be a little woo woo, but would you ever expected that from someone like him to be a little woo, but not guru? And,
right.
And it's interesting. You said a 5 to 7 year evolution of an entrepreneur. And we did talk a lot about, you know, entrepreneurship and what that really means. Over the last couple of days, you know, I've kind of sit there and look at entrepreneurs in two different ways. There's the entrepreneur, and then there's the entrepreneur that really isn't an entrepreneur and just has a problem with authority. They it's that 9 to 5, that W-2. And it's, you know, where do they sit? But you've been an entrepreneur as long as I know you, and beyond that, because you're old as dirt. So, you know, probably for at least the last 125 years, you've been one. But this one really excites me. And it's not that the other ones don't. I've got them behind that board right there. But Unscripted, Unfiltered, Unwoo-woo, Unguru. We'll talk about that more as time goes on. But yeah, I mean, you've been in some of the most amazing high-end rooms that you've either curated or you've been a part of. Are you taking some of those lessons when you are in those rooms, and how are you taking them and like extrapolating something as opposed to the woo, but more back to like implementation? I think that's a lot of the things that we see. And since we're on this, the woo-woo here,
Well,
here
I
we'll just
think
do, we'll do it for everyone. The woo-woo.
two things you're going to get out of that book is authenticity and storytelling. And when it goes back to the woo-woo is you can't be authentic if you're pushing all this woo stuff. You know? And even today I see a lot of these gurus, they get up and they share the same stories over and over and over again. Like I met Dan Kennedy back in 1998. I think he's a brilliant guy. But then I met him in 2019 in Dallas, and he's sharing the same stories I heard like 20 years prior.
Yeah, that's one thing that I do see, and I don't even want to call it in the guru or the woo-woo field, but I do see in the leadership field. So we're gonna just kind of shift the words right there in the leadership, coaching, whatever, however you wanna recognize that. And they are telling stories from 10 years ago. And they're giving their hard life lesson story to me when we're still sharing the same story to attract attention and attract new people that are that's 10 years old, and that's just a placeholder. You know, my hard times and my hard life. We're speaking to the lowest common denominator that's going to sit there and gravitate towards that low, that not who you are. And I get that it's where you came from, but why are we still like
Right.
leaning so hard into to that story? I always found that
Right.
interesting.
You know, and I've known you for a long time. I mean, we met in San Francisco at Steve Sims' event. And, both of us can read a room and share a story that relates to that time, those people. We don't
Yes.
need to keep saying the same story over and over again.
No. And it's that's the one thing. Out of the room where you and I met, there's probably a handful of people that I still truthfully and honestly and dearly connect with, and you're one of them. I'm thankful and love the love that we share amongst each other, and just like the entrepreneurial journey, because the last 4 or 5 years have been interesting, to say the least. And it's only gonna get more fun, more interesting. But you aren't the same person that you were 4 or 5 years ago. You're still you. You're authentically you. I hate the word authentic, but like you're genuine. Let's go with this. You're genuinely you,
Right.
and I'm genuinely me, but we are not the same person we were 4 or 5 years ago. If so, I don't know what we're doing and why people would even be listening to anything that we have to suggest or be helpful with. And
Right.
that's one of the things that kind of leads into the next one is, it for entrepreneurs, it's easy for us to lose our footing, lose our confidence. Okay. You and I have had conversations around this and, to second guess the decisions we're making along the way. How have you developed a winning mindset, and what are some of the techniques or practices you're using to overcome self-doubt or limiting beliefs right now?
Well, I can't tell people that I'm always positive. There's days I don't even want to get out of bed, but I do it because I know that one, I'm benefiting my customers in some way, shape, or form. And two, if I don't get out of bed, I can't make money. I can't pay the bills. I can't take my family on vacation. So, I just have to do it. But the first thing I usually do after I get out of bed is make the bed, because then I know I did something positive that day. I did something. And I know that most people say, well, we're not making a bed, it's just going to get messy the next, later the day. Yeah, but you accomplished something. And once you accomplish that, everything else is easy. Because I always hate, I as a kid, I dreaded making the bed. It was the hardest thing I could do, tucking in the
Tuck the
corners, doing this,
sheet, the corner, the whatever.
whatever.
You know
Yeah.
what? You're right.
And you get that out of the way, the whole day's easy. Are there days where my customers kick me in the jimmies? Yeah, and I want to swing back. Are there times when people don't pay me? Yeah, but I keep going because I know I have to. It's easy for people to give up. It's and I see businesses fail every day. And people are like, well, Rob, you've been an entrepreneur 30 years. How do you keep doing it? Because I don't want to work for someone else. That's why.
And it's not because I'll say this, and sometimes coming from someone else, it has a little more gravity to it. It's not because you have a problem with authority. It's because it's not in your DNA to go there. That's my, at least if I were to open a book and say, why is Rob an entrepreneur? It has nothing to do with authority. It has to do with the fact that who you are is in your DNA. It's built in,
Well,
and you operate differently.
it comes down to two words: freedom and legacy. Freedom to call the shots, to do what I want, when I want, where I want, and for the benefit of whom I want. And legacy: what am I leaving behind for the next generation to learn from what I did?
That might have been one of the best things that I've heard since we have, started this podcast. I love that. How it comes down to freedom and legacy right there. Those powerful things. I used to look at the word legacy as, oh, it's a dirty word. Like, how could, no, legacy doesn't have to mean how we view it. It can be something that lasts beyond us, that is bigger than us. One of my favorite sayings, and it's not just because I believe that I came up with it, is the pebble in the pond becomes the mountain in the ocean. And that mountain in the ocean is the legacy that lasts, but it's the legacy you might not see because it goes beyond you, it grows beyond you, and it has such a ripple effect that the impact, you're not worried about, like, I need to see the measurable impact. You know that you're coming from your true self, that mountain becomes the ripple in that ocean.
And all the books that I do, all the podcasts that I either produce or I'm on, that's a legacy that someone else can learn from. It's my gift to them. And people don't understand that. Even when I was a young entrepreneur, I was like, legacy, what the hell is that? As I got older, I understood the meaning of that and the value that all the other past entrepreneurs' legacy, their books, their gifts, their endowments, everything benefited the next generation.
It's that generational pull. It's that generational impact that you're able to have. And when we look at impact and size, I want to impact 1 billion people. Impact one. First and foremost, impact yourself. Impact your household. Then take it to the next level. If you can impact one person beyond that, that's amazing. You can take from one to 10 and go from there. But I always see, I want to impact 1 million people, 1 billion people. So impact one and go from there and see what it looks like.
And take that same message to social media. As long as you're getting one person to see your stuff, to comment on your stuff, that should be all you care about. You're benefiting one person. If it goes a little further than that, awesome. But don't make your posts so that they go viral and you're like, oh wow, look, all these people, they're seeing it. And not one benefited from it. Not one reached back out and said, hey, this is great. No, it just went viral. And then it's like a shooting star. It just faded away. You don't want to be that way.
Don't be the shooting star. With what we do in the entrepreneurial space, you, me, and other entrepreneurs, being able to remain nimble and adapt quickly, I believe is a key to success. What are the tools that you use to work through change, uncertainty, or disruption as it's happening in real time? Because so often we use past experiences to determine what we're going to do today, but we're using outdated information. And when it's happening in real time, it's like, ah, I can utilize these things, but it doesn't mean it's the best tool for what is happening in today's real world, especially as fast as we're compounding technology and information. So what tools do you use in real time in uncertainty?
Well, everybody knows that I can't say everybody, but a lot of people know I'm not a fan of crypto. I know you've dabbled in it. I know other people have dabbled in it. Crypto by itself doesn't appeal to me. The technology behind crypto, the Bitcoin, I mean, not the Bitcoin,
Yep,
the
blockchain.
blockchain, that fascinates me. And I see these companies using it in such a way and the AI is designing stuff. It's great to use those tools. It really is. But don't jump right in and say, "Oh, I'm gonna be an AI expert now," when you were just a plumber 2 weeks ago. It just doesn't work. So the things that I use to make things easier for me, or even to tweak my own evolution per se, as is old fashioned stuff. I get more out of writing these books than I do. Sometimes, when I'm interviewing people, when I'm writing this stuff, I'm like, not only is it therapy for me, because all my emotions, all my stories go into these books, but it inspires me to keep on going. And so we look at technology and think, "Oh wow, that's the thing that's going to make us a better entrepreneur." Sometimes it's the old school stuff that actually makes us the better entrepreneur. It's I and you know I my father-in-law was a carpenter, and he would craft some awesome stuff with old-fashioned tools. You give him new tools, power tools, and he's like, "I don't know what to do with this." So it's I think everybody has to have, an anchor, not only to their own school skills, but it kind of prevents them from, I don't know.
No, it's what you're saying,
I think a lot of I think a lot of them have the ADHD, shiny object syndrome, and they're that squirrel that goes after these shiny nuts, and it may help you for a little bit, but it's more of a distraction than anything.
Yeah, find the people that have really leaned into it, utilize them. And move on for your highest and best use. But learning, finding the SOS, shiny object syndrome, it's just going to help you blind yourself and what's really important, what's right in front of
You
you.
know, we talked off air, and a lot of the services that I started to offer my clients over the last decade have become more of a time suck for me. And I'm looking at them going, "Okay, do I want to continue to offer those services, or bring it down to a level where I'm only offering one or two?" And I love producing books. I love doing that for people. Again, it goes back to the whole legacy thing, but web hosting, oh my God, lately it's become an awful time suck. And you might be thinking, "Wow, Rob, I'm paying you $50, $100 to host my website." Yeah, but when that website goes down and the hours that I have to spend getting that website back up, it's
The juice
not
isn't
worth
worth the squeeze.
it.
It's
No, it's
not worth
not.
the downtime. No, I get it. I get it. And that kind of, with when we're talking about services, typically when someone invests in their future, they have a better than vague idea of what they're going to get out of it. What should someone expect they when they enter your reality and work with you?
Well, it's a long game, and I think everybody has to understand entrepreneurship is not this instant, rub the genie lamp and all your wishes come true. It takes time, and just because I write a book for you or produce a book that you've written, it's going to take time for that book to get out there and market yourself. And it's not going to be one of these J.K. Rowling, massive billion-dollar deals. It's not going to happen. Business books don't sell like Harry Potter does. But
Right.
what it becomes is your calling card, that authority piece that people will read and they'll think, "Wow, this guy is brilliant. This guy can help me. This guy can do something." And at the end of the book, you can have your call to action. "Hey, I can speak at your event. I can do this. I can help you with all these other things." And that's how people can elevate their game, by having some type of, and it doesn't have to be a book, but the book is the easiest thing because people take books with them everywhere. I remember even you took one of my books on the plane and then you wrote back, how you enjoyed the book. And
Yeah.
it just,
I don't mean to diminish a book as it's the business card, but it truly is something that like people hold on to. You can throw a business card away real easily. Like I get asked all the time, hey, give me your card. I'm like, I haven't had a card in God knows how long. But fewer people are really inclined to not at least sit there and say, hey, I'm gonna peek into this. I'm gonna see what this is about. And then from there, it's up to their imagination what they can do with it. Yeah.
You can, I in 10 years, well, 11 years, I've produced 43 books. And when you look back at my prior field, I was a carpet cleaner. I was the owner of a carpet cleaning company for 19 years. And I had the Anspach Media overlapping that company for about a decade. And now Anspach Media is 23 years old, and I sold the cleaning company about a decade ago when I started writing books. But you go from being a carpet cleaner to this author, and people are like, "I don't get it, Rob. Why?" It's like, because I saw something that I wanted to do
Yeah.
that was greater than what I was doing before, and I knew that I could be this marketing coach to a lot of people. But I couldn't do both. I couldn't be this guy that was a local person, cleaning carpet, to now I'm people all over the world are reading my books, and this is like it's what I wanted to happen, but it took time. So
It had to
again,
reveal itself. It's not like you woke up one day and said, I'm going to become an author. I'm going to help coach other people in the marketing space. It revealed itself. And when it came, you have a choice. You can answer the door, you can answer the calling, or you can turn your back on it. And you chose what made you happy. How often do we sit there and we know something might make us happy, but we stay in the more of the cesspool of what we're in? That might be too strong of a word. But we just stay in a bad situation because we don't know what the outcome of the potential for a good or neutral situation could be. And you chose to take that step. And that really is like, again, with what I do know about when you started the carpet clean, you became an entrepreneur when you decided to step off the ledge and slowly start diversifying into being an author, being a marketing coach. Being able to help other people with their media needs, that's when you really kind of stepped into this is me.
And but it really started to happen 5 years ago when I launched the Rob Versus series of books, because I could allow my sarcastic nature into those books, into those stories, because it was just me, teasing these scammers all day long and putting those conversations in a book. And last I guess it was last November, I launched the eighth book in that series, and I have two more coming out in 2024. So there'll be 10 of those books. But it wouldn't have happened had I not said, enough's enough. Let's get the personality in there a little bit more. Let's dig deep. And I get people calling me up, hey, I love that scammer's book. That was awesome. And that basically sells. Yeah, I love writing these types of books. To get the entrepreneurial, groove on. However, the Rob Versus books gets them to laugh, gets them to forget about their pain at that moment, and they can feel themselves in that kind of in that spirit of the conversation with me dealing with the scammers, they remember me better.
Yeah, well, they get to laugh at life a little bit. You know, it's not all always having to be serious. People sat in the room. I was with two partners, dear friends, Nick and Laurel, the other night, and we were like, "Hey, we got 30 minutes. Let's wrap this. You know, we're getting stuff done at the house." 3 hours later, we looked at each other, and we were like, "We hadn't done anything other than been nonsensical." Laughing at ourselves, coming up with crazy ideas, just having a good time. And we're like, ah, we didn't do what we were supposed to do for the last 30 minutes. but we laughed.
Yeah.
We had so much fun.
And the thing is, if that moment was recorded for everybody else to view, it would bring you into a different light with them, and
yeah,
they'd be laughing along. They'd remember it better. And all those lessons that you shared in that laughter would become someone's story. And they would go, wow, I want to be involved with what they're doing.
Yeah, we did kind of joke afterwards, like, man, if this was recorded, we don't know what people would think. I'll give you a quick one for any of the listeners. There's a story out there that floats around occasionally about jarred farts. And we had someone sitting on a stairwell. I can't believe I'm actually talking about this, but I am. I don't know if I'll finish this part of it. And it's myself, two of our partners, and another individual. And we're sitting there because, again, everything's so serious. And all the marketing bros are upstairs, and they're marketing. And and we were like, how do we just kind of get away and just be by ourselves? We were asked to fly in. They really wanted one of our partners to be there to draw an audience. And at a certain point in time, we're like, we got to just remove ourselves from the room. So we go downstairs, and you know, we're just kind of joking around, and we're coming up with this idea about jarring farts because we had seen something. And for 20 minutes, there's someone, a very well-respected individual, that's sitting on the stairwell in this like mansion of a house, just listening to us. And I look up and I'm like, hey, you can come on down. And the person comes down and they're like, how do you guys do it? How do you guys, you're always in the groove, and you guys just accomplish so much, and you have these partnerships, and you guys are just so close. How do you do it? I'm thinking, has he heard anything we're talking about? We're literally creating an assembly line, what we would do, how we would sell them, how we would package it, what the messaging would be, you know, creating a jar, and it's more valuable if you never open it. And then on top of it, we sit there and we're like, we could also just not even jar anything in there, and just they think it's more value because if they open it, it loses its value. And we're like, do you realize? And one of our partners gets up and he starts making this motion of this wafting thing, and his girlfriend being on an assembly line thing. And we're like, do you realize for the last 20 minutes, we've been just talking about jarring farts? And he's like, really? We're like, yeah, we were just down here laughing at ourselves, being silly. Yeah, we get all those other things, but people think it's always got to be like straight to the point. You know, here's the business plan. We're here. We want to go here, and it's going to go smooth along the way. We have all of our lives to talk about that. I don't even know. You know, I might just get canceled.
And the thing is that if you stood up on stage and told that same story, you'd have the whole audience dying.
Mm.
They would remember you forever. You're the jar fart guy.
Who also built, you know, a tech empire that was to actually be helpful for people that are in the leadership space and everything. So yes, I can be the jarred fart tech guy. That's awesome. Look at this. Rob, you can be my publicist on that one. Have fun writing that book. So, all right, we've got a few questions as we're coming to an end here, and we might have just lost all of our listenership. We might have, you know, the X amount of people that were listening to this probably just said, I'm out. This is teaching me nothing at the end of the day. So, you know, there's always new ideas bring in times of prosperity. Like in times of prosperity, you can talk about jarred farts and actually make money off of that. But I believe ingenuity comes when we're feeling the squeeze. What are you working on right now that's going to take place over the next 12 months that excites you?
Well, I have 4 books.
Rob can't even get through like what he's working on right now, because all he's picturing is this assembly line of jarring farts.
Yeah. The next book is not going to be Jar of Farts. I have, like I said, I have 2 more Rob versus books that are coming out. I have a book for one of our friends, and that I'm helping him write. And then I have another lawyer book for a client. But, you know, I've been working on the script for a pilot show for based on the Rob versus books. We had the pilot written last year, and then the writer's strike happened. And we thought, you know what, let's simplify the script a little bit, make it less characters, you know, kind of more like a Seinfeld where there's only 4 main characters. That's it.
Yep.
And you know, now it's starting to come together, and maybe it becomes a show, maybe it doesn't, but I had fun writing the script and learning new things.
It's interesting. So as you were describing, which you didn't describe a ton, my brain, when you're like, hey, then the writer's strike, my brain went immediately to Seinfeld. And you've never told me that, but my brain went to a Seinfeld-esque type show, I love when all of a sudden the picture that you have in your head, I'm like, oh, that's the painting I just painted before you even told me. So we've got a few books. You're helping out others launch their books, and then also the not the screenplay, but the what do they call that? Sorry, I'm not Hollywood like you, so I only jar farts over here and
Yeah,
rant.
that just threw me all off. So,
Yeah, I throw myself off. I'm like, I've got anytime I don't know what to say now, I'm just gonna insert that right there. All right. Well, let's bring it home and actually, yeah, let's let
we have a couple of vacations this year, so that's going to be nice. I mean, my mother-in-law is turning 80 this year, so we're giving her a surprise trip to France.
Ouf, parlez-vous français?
So, it's one of those bucket list goals that I always wanted to do, but we've been to Germany, we've been to Madrid, we've been to Italy, never been to southern France, so that's where we're going.
I'll give yourself one favor. Do it, don't do it. It's up to you. This experience was like probably 30, 40, 50 years ago. I forget at this point. Go into an actual grocery store in France, wherever you are, south of France. Get the bag, but go into the grocery store. Get the baguette from the store that was brought there. You can go to a stand or something like that, but there's something about going into a grocery store, smelling the produce, seeing the people, being engrossed in the world for whatever reason. I doubt that a lot of travelers are like, I'm going to go to the grocery store, but there's something there because you get the raw realness of what the culture and the people and the flavors of that area are about.
Oh, we did that in Germany, and it was fascinating.
Guten Tag, Herr Fräulein. You see all my
Yeah,
different ways that I can speak multiple languages. There we go. All right. I do believe in leading with the give mentality. It's the principle on which I've based every company partnership, and uncoincidentally, it's the name of the podcast, The Give. We ask that every guest on the podcast share a little sneak peek, and I think we probably already shared it a few like dozen times, but a sneak peek of what their give will be for our listeners, placed over at TSF. What do you brought for the listeners today, Rob, that we're going to place over in the Knowledge Center? Unscripted, unfiltered,
unscripted,
un-woo-woo, un-guru, no jarred farts.
no jerk. But here's the thing: you can get the PDF over at
At TSF. So what we'll do is we put this in the show notes. That way they've got the link to go from A to B,
Yeah,
and here I'm gonna
and here's I want to I Yes, please take the free one, the PDF. You will learn a lot of stuff. If you want the print book, get it on Amazon, because the thing is, all the proceeds of this book go to the philanthropy we have in the back of the book. It's called Beach Bum Philanthropy, and it helps so many organizations. Steve Gamlin, my co-author of the book, started this Beach Bum Philanthropy, and so I'm not benefiting. We are not benefiting, financially from this book at all. It's
I'm going to
all
throw something
free.
out there since you said that, because I think you said it's at the end of the book. Find just throwing something out there. Find a way that people know upfront that all the proceeds go to, number one, the fact that it's going to a legitimate, real charity is great. Okay. Number two, if people see the beach bum, da-da-da-da-da, they're like, oh. But like, if there was a way that you could almost let the person know upfront what the proceeds are going to, as opposed to the end, I didn't know that because I have my copy. It gets there. I don't look at mail for weeks at a time. And people are like, did you open this yet? I'm like, I don't know. There's a pile of stuff.
No, and the thing is, when we wrote the book, the whole premise was not only did we want it to help entrepreneurs everywhere, okay? The second benefit was it was going to help the community. And so if we know that the person can't afford the book for whatever reason, we will get you a copy. You can go to my website, just pay for the shipping, okay? But the PDF is free for,
Everyone.
everyone, because we want them to read it. We want them to learn. We want them, my experiences, Steve's experiences, your experiences, you're going to see all that stuff in the book because you're going to see yourselves in those situations. And you're going to read between the lines. You're going, wow, Rob was a dick. Now, Rob knew what he was
Rob versus the, not going to say it.
doing.
I've already said enough on this one to, let's hope not get canceled, folks. Let's not do that. Let's not go there. Cancel Rob. Do him. He's okay with it.
Yeah,
He
that's
only has a
crazy.
family and kids that he supports, so don't worry about him whatsoever. He'll be
That's
just
good.
fine on there. All right. If you've listened to this, Rob and I have a past history. A lot of our guests in the beginning episodes, we have a history because I know, like, and trust them. I know they're the actual doers, the action takers, the implementers. It's not the fluff. It's not the gruff. It's the reality. And so that's why the early episodes are having people, and you might notice that there is a comfortability, if that's a word. There's a comfort level. We'll go with that. And Rob's one of those, because I had the fortune of one of our dear friends, Steve Sims, curating a room back in the day. And the rooms, when Rob and I were in there, and it wasn't because Rob and I were in there, but the rooms that were curated,
It
yeah, well, that's their fault. It was some amazing action takers, doers, entrepreneurs, and they've become dear friends. So what I will say, because I just got back from 4 days of a couple different events that we were putting on through the Success Finder and some of my partners, get in the room. Rob will probably back me up on this. If not, don't listen to him.
was.
But get in the rooms. I get it. Zoom's cool, to be able to reach out and have a quick connection. Find a way to get in the rooms, read the books, be part of what is happening. Un-woo-woo and un-guru, the unscripted, unfiltered book by Rob Ansbach and this Steve guy, Gamlin. We'll go with the Steve Gamlin guy.
The
Check it out, Rob. I
Steve
appreciate your time. Everything you've done for myself and my family, because you've done a lot for us. I appreciate you. I love you like a brother. Thank you for showing up today.